Hello, welcome to today's worship stream. I am Gabriel, lead pastor of Grace Communion Richardson. And here at this church, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through neighborhood engagements, all out of the compelling love of God shared with us through Jesus Christ and by the power of his Spirit. You are welcome to this Sunday's worship stream. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to send them to us, and we will pray for and with you. You can see on the screen the address that you can use in sending your prayer request. If you have any comments, please don't hesitate to share those with us as well. We would love to hear from you. Next month, which is just around the corner, is February. And February is dedicated as Black History Month in this country. How do you feel about that? Why the focus on Black history? Well, it is a month dedicated to reminding ourselves of the journey and contributions of Black people in America. That journey includes the pain and trauma of slavery, of segregation, and the continuing attitudes that dehumanizes and depersonalizes other people on the basis of skin color. It is also a time for us to remind ourselves of how far we have come and where we are going as a people and the opportunities that are present for us. And for those of us who are believers, it is an opportunity for us to reaffirm the truth of God, of our diversity, our reconciliation, and our unity in Christ Jesus. And hopefully as the days and the weeks go by, I will have opportunity to talk some more about this. Last time I shared about the truth that you are called to mission, and that the church is also called to mission is what I'm going to be talking about today. So I'll continue on the theme of called to mission, with particular emphasis on our church congregation and our vision and mission for 2021 and beyond. Right now, I want to speak specifically to Grace Communion Richardson members and supporters, just to say thank you for your generous financial donations in support of our gospel efforts. They are very much appreciated. And for those of you out there who appreciate our gospel efforts, including the worship messages that come to you each Sunday, and are moved to support our efforts, please, you can see on the screen some of the ways that you can make a financial donation. Your financial donations are tax deductible, and they are very much appreciated. Thank you, and God bless you. Now I would like to invite you to a praise song from our praise team, and then after that I'll come back with a message for today. Please stay with us.
I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. So I'm laying down all my religion. to think that I could box you in. Well, I'm laying down, I wanna know you, Lord. And I used to think that I could box you in. But I'm laying down, I wanna know you, Lord. And I'm laying down all my religion. I'm laying down, I wanna know you, Lord. I'm laying down, Lord, all my religion. I'm laying down, I wanna know you, Lord. Lord, I've been told I don't measure up. Lord, I've been told I'm not good enough, but you're here with me. I reach out and you find me. Say no amount of untruths can separate us. I reach out and you find me in the dust. You say no amount of and separate us. I reach out and you find me in the dust. No amount, you say no amount of untruth can separate. In the simple gospel, I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will rejoice in the simple gospel, and I will rejoice in you, Lord.
All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal God, Father, Son, and Spirit are the one and only true God who is love and who cares for us very deeply and has shown that love abundantly and clearly and finally, in the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that in Him we may have life eternal. And it is you, Lord Jesus, who've invited us, called us to mission. I pray that as we remind ourselves today about that, that you, through your Spirit, will enable and empower us to heed your call and your invitation and to participate with you in your life and mission of love. So open our hearts and our minds, Lord, today and always, and help us to follow you as your image bearers. And I pray this in your most holy name. Amen. I'm excited to have a purpose in life, to join Jesus in his life and mission of love, and to do so with others as a team, as a family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, a band of brothers and sisters, if you please. As I talked about last Sunday, that you as an individual and me are called to mission, to a higher purpose by God, so the church is called to mission. In fact, the church was founded by Jesus for the express purpose of being on that mission, working together as part of the body of Christ and participating in his life and in his mission of love. And I would like to share with you today, in a brief way, the mission that we here at Grace Communion Richardson feel called to pursue in 2021 and beyond as we participate in Christ's life and mission of love. Now, one of the first things that hopefully is clear is that whether as individuals or collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ, the mission that we've been called to is not our mission. It is whose mission? It is Jesus's mission. It is Jesus Christ's mission that he calls us, invites us to join in, to participate with him in. So it is the mission of God that we are called to, whether as individuals or as a church congregation. And we have our own part or role to play in this effort, according to our gift mix, according to our individual and collective or corporate calling that Jesus gives to us. Now, in Grace Communion Richardson, we recognize our part in this life and mission of Jesus spelled out in John 17, John chapter 17 and in verse 3. We recognize this important scripture as summing up what God's intentions are through Jesus Christ for all of humanity. And John 17 and verse 3 simply says, you don't mind me reading that, breaking into the thought here of Jesus praying to the Father just before he was crucified. And he's been sharing with his disciples, pouring himself into them, trying to encourage, comfort, and motivate them to look forward, to move forward as he goes through passion, as he goes through the crucifixion. And from chapter 13 of John, right through to chapter 16, he'd been sharing with his disciples. And chapter 17, he begins to pray to the Father in the hearing of his disciples. And so in verse 3 of chapter 17, the Gospel according to John, Jesus said this, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So eternal life is about knowing God and Jesus. And another way of putting that, friend, is that eternal life is about knowing the God revealed in Christ Jesus. So Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. Jesus is the exact representation or image of God. Hebrews tells us that. And so Jesus says here in the prayer, affirming why he came to this earth by saying he was here to make possible eternal life for you and for me. And that the eternal life he's talking about is about a knowing relationship of God through Jesus Christ. As I like to put it, a knowing love relationship. Because knowing God is knowing that God is love. God does not just have love, but is love. The being of God is love, and as a result, the act of God is love. And Jesus says eternal life is about knowing this God of love, having a relationship with this God of love who is revealed in Jesus Christ. So as we have a relationship of love with Jesus, we are knowing God. We are knowing Jesus. We are knowing the Spirit, the triune God. And Jesus says, this is what is supposed to be happening with us for eternity. So this is eternal life, to be in an ongoing, knowing, love relationship with Father, Son, and Spirit through Jesus Christ. And this, friend, is where we source as a congregation our mission, joining Jesus in this mission of being known, of knowing and being known. So Jesus invites us to eternal life of knowing God and Jesus in love. The journey of knowing God revealed in Jesus through his Spirit is being a disciple. It's another way of describing it. So a disciple is one who is on this journey of knowing God, knowing God revealed in Jesus through the Spirit. And this discipleship includes sharing that knowledge with others. That's beautiful, isn't it? So as we grow in knowing God through Jesus Christ and by his Spirit, because on our own we are incapable of doing, you know, of knowing, God has revealed himself to us through Christ and through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. As we do that, and it is a process, it is a journey. As we do that, we also share what we are learning with others. We share it with each other. That's what discipleship is about. Sharing the knowledge as we grow in the grace and knowledge of God together with others. It is also described as sharing in the kingdom of God. So the journey, the process of knowing God in love relationships is described as growing in or being a part of the kingdom of God, the reign and nature of Jesus Christ, who is the King of that kingdom. It is what is described as the good news, because the good news involves God in Christ and by the power of his Spirit making the way, being the way for us to have this knowing love relationship with him and with each other. Jesus provides the way through our redemption, through our justification and sanctification. We are given the way, the freedom, the liberty for relationship. We are first given a freedom from sin and the penalty of sin, death, and all that is associated with it, and given the freedom for relationship. And so when Jesus describes his mission in Luke, he describes it in those terms as freedom. So we are given the freedom to have a relationship with God, and this freedom of having a love relationship with God is occasioned by Jesus providing us with the freedom from the shackles, the captivity of sin and of death. The freedom from the shackles and the captivity of the consequences of breaking the law. And so, John 17 and in verse 3 is one of our congregational scriptures for mission. So you've heard me say again and again, I said it at the beginning of this program as well, that here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to what? Know Jesus and to make him known through worship, family fellowship, and neighborhood engagement. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but that's where it comes from. John chapter 17 and in verse 3. Jesus' life and mission of love is to share this good news, making disciples and bringing as many people into kingdom relationship and glory as possible, as many as want it. He raised his church to participate with him in this life and mission. And we at Grace Communion Richardson see our marching orders in this light. And then, of course, Jesus goes on to tell us, his disciples, his followers, those who are on this journey of knowing him and making him known, he gives us a direct command in Matthew chapter 28, and this is referred to as the Great Commission by Bible scholars. In Matthew chapter 28, and beginning from verse 18, Jesus tells his disciples this after he had been resurrected from the dead, just before he was to ascend back into heaven. In verse 18, Jesus came to the disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now that's important. Here is Jesus beginning a directive for his people to follow with this important reminder. And that is that Jesus is in charge. I'm about to give you an important assignment, if you please. But remember that I am in charge of this project. I am in charge of this commission. It is my mission. It is my commission. It is my assignment. I am the one who is doing this. I'm inviting you to come along and be part of it. So he starts verse 18 by saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he gives the directive. Therefore, as a result of your understanding that this is mine, I am the captain of it, I am the king of it, I am the leader of it, with this understanding, he says, go, or as the Greek may be translated, as you are going, as you go through life, as you live life, he says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, verse 20, to obey everything I have commanded you. And then he bookended again by reminding his disciples of his role in all of this by saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus begins his directive to his disciples, to his followers, by reminding us that he is in charge. He is the sovereign one who is in control. All authority is in his hand. It is his mission. It is his project, if you like. It is his life. And then he says, as we go through life, we are to make disciples. And as I explained earlier, when we were talking about John chapter 17 and in verse 3, looking at Jesus' prayer, where he says, "This is eternal life." I said earlier that this relationship of knowing God through Jesus, the love relationship of knowing, is what disciples are engaged in. So as we engage in this journey, in this process of knowing Jesus and making him known, we are disciples. And Jesus says that we should go out and do that, to make disciples, to provide the space and opportunity for others to know Jesus and to make him known. And in other places, and we can read those some other time, I suppose, but in other places he says, this is how you are a disciple. John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, for example. He says, this is how you are a disciple, by loving one another the way that I love you. If you love one another as I love you, Jesus says, then you will be identified, you'll be known as my disciple. So the way to make a disciple is through loving relationship, Jesus says. And one of the ways to do that, in verse 20 he says, is by teaching all that I have commanded. Not what Gabriel thinks, not what someone else's opinion is, but what Jesus commands. So Jesus is the one who defines what love is and what love relationships look like. That's what he's saying here. So we pattern our lives on our identity in him, who he is, what he stands for, what he commands or teaches. That is what makes for the environment, the space for knowing him and making him known. So that's our marching orders Jesus gives. And then he concludes by saying, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus starts his giving of this invitation to join him in mission, in making other disciples, by reminding us that he is in control of it. It is his mission. It is his project, so to speak. And that he is the authority on it and of it. And then he ends by reminding us that we are not in it on our own. Even when we feel like we are on our own, even when we feel like we are at our wit's end, even when we feel so weak and limited, he reminds us, no, we are not on our own. He is with us even till the end of the age. That's comforting, isn't it? That's very encouraging. So Jesus invites us to mission, his mission, and reminds us that he provides all the resources, all the equipping that we need to join him in that mission. And I say hallelujah and amen to that, because I know that on my own, I couldn't possibly make any dent in this mission. Without the Spirit enabling, empowering, teaching, counseling, coaching, mentoring, comforting, it's not something that we can do on our own as human beings. And so Jesus reminds us of that, even as he gives us that invitation and that call to mission as a church, working together within the context of who he is and what he commands and what he stands for. He reminds us that he is with us till the very end. And then in chapter 5, Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 5, again, breaking into the thought here, Jesus describes one of the ways that we create an environment for making disciples. Again, I'm breaking into the thought here. This is popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount, as he was sharing the Beatitudes. In verse 14, he says, "You," and again, the word "you" here is in the plural form, is speaking to the group. "You are the light of the world," as part of his body, and Jesus is the light. And so as image bearers, we are also reflectors of his light. And he says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Verse 16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." So Jesus is sharing here one of the ways that we participate in his life and in his mission is to engage in his good deeds. Ephesians 2 reminds us of that, that we were created for good works prepared in advance by God for us. And so to be lights in this world is to engage in what Scripture describes as good works or good deeds. These good works or good deeds are how we relate to others. We relate to others. We have a relationship with others in love. We relate to others not only by word, but also in deed, by actions. And both word and deed are supposed to flow out of the love of God expressed abundantly in Jesus Christ. And so we share, we comfort, we encourage, we support, we hold accountable, we build up, we equip, we spread joy, we share peace as peacemakers. These ways of relating, Jesus describes as good deeds. And he talks a lot about that in so many other ways in the Gospels. He says, if someone is hungry, you help them with food. If someone is sick, you visit them. If someone needs clothing, you help with that. Without creating dependency, that's not what Jesus is about. Jesus is about teaching people how to stand on their feet in a way that they become interdependent with others, in a community of support and care with others. Not creating dependency. You have to meet people where they are and then bring them up. As I have said before, Jesus stands for love. He is love, and he loves you to meet you where you are, loves you too much to leave you where you are. His whole attitude of love is to bring you to his level, so to speak, to himself. And so he takes on himself who we are, all that we are, the good, the bad, the ugly, the weird, all of it. And so when you read a passage like this and so many others, it's a reminder that God has called us not just to words, but also to what? To deeds, and both words and deeds of love. And those deeds are not what saves us. And those words are not what saves us. Those words and deeds are an expression of our having been saved. The mark or the manifestation, the identifier of being saved is made manifest in our words and deeds of love. Jesus is our Savior, not our words, not our deeds. And He's the one who provides us with the words and deeds that we share with others in this journey of knowing Him and making Him known. And that to me is very beautiful. And that is something that legalists misunderstand. And sometimes in our effort to discourage legalism, we sometimes fail to make a distinction between good deeds and works salvation. There's a difference between them, and that's for another time. But Jesus calls us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, as a congregation to be involved in good deeds. That's the point that I'm making here. And as a congregation here at Grace Communion Richardson, we want to be involved in that. So the church is not only about saying stuff. There's a point that I'm making. The church is also about doing stuff, because our words must have action, and both words and actions must be of love. If our words are not of love, they are not of Jesus. And if our actions are not of love, they are not of Jesus. And Jesus calls us to join Him in His words and actions of love. That's what we understand, and that is what we are striving to be about here at Grace Communion Richardson. So to make disciples is to share who Jesus is in love, and to share what He, Jesus, commands and stands for. That is what making disciples is about, as we read in Matthew 28. And one of the ways that we do so is to share His words and to share His deeds as lights. And a light is made manifest through good deeds, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16. So making disciples, or sharing the knowledge and grace and love of who Jesus is, involves reflecting His goodness, His light, being His image bearers through our help and good works to others in our neighborhood and in our spheres of influence. So here at Grace Communion Richardson, we believe, as diverse as we are, and we are from all kinds of backgrounds, ethnically and in other ways, as diverse as we are called to participate in Jesus' life and mission together by seeking to know Him and to make Him known, as I said earlier, through worship, through family fellowship, and neighborhood engagements or community outreach. By the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our own effort and will, but by His Spirit. And we are striving to do so through the ministry avenues of hope, faith, and love. Our theme for this year, 2021, is hope, faith, and love, faith on fire. And we chose a focus on faith this year because we had a focus on hope last year. Next year, we'll have a focus on love. But a focus on faith and the faith ministry avenue, because we are reminded by the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verses 5 to 7, as he was encouraging Timothy, we share in that encouragement. He told Timothy to fan the flame of faith in the face of insecurities, in the face of doubts, in the face of fear. We fan the flame of faith. We recommit to be passionate for God and the things of God. We recommit to trust God even as we face the mountains and the challenges. We recommit to trust God in our joys as well as in our sorrows. We recommit to fan the flame of faith in 2021 and beyond. Because we know that the challenges of last year are still with us in many ways. And there may be other challenges that we're not aware of. But we know, as we read in Matthew 28, that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he is in control. He is the sovereign one. He is the one who is in charge. And we can trust in him because he is good, and he is worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our time. He's worthy of our energy. He's worthy of our sacrifices. And we know that in him, we win. In him, we are more than conquerors. We are victorious over all things around us. And so we want to find that flame of faith and passion for God. Now, we have a diagram that describes our mission as a church. And in the center of the diagram is Jesus. Jesus is the core of the mission, as I've been saying. He's the owner of it. And it is from him that our efforts to know him and to make him known in the arenas of worship, of family fellowship, and of neighborhood engagements or community outreach flows from. Jesus is the center of it, the middle of it, and the end of it, as well as the beginning. It is all about him. And so our worship, which is our primary context for our Hope Ministry Avenue, is where we share hope and where we share hope in worship. That means we recognize God in relationship as we grow in knowing him as the sovereign, almighty creator who is in total control and who is love, who is good, and who is worthy of our lives, of our trust, because he loves us. He cares for us, and he destines us for the very best, sharing his life with us. He is the source of our hope. That's what the worship avenue is about. The worship arena of our mission is about receiving and sharing hope. And then, of course, the second circle in our diagram talks about our neighborhood engagement or community outreach. And that is our context for spreading and sharing love. So we read in Matthew 5 and verses 14 to 16. We share the love of God through words and good deeds in our neighborhood. And we do so recognizing that it is the goodness of God that we seek to share. And of course, our other circle is the family fellowship circle. And it is where our ministry avenue of faith finds practice, finds a living out, a manifestation. So we want our faith to be on fire for Jesus, and it involves sharing this faith with one another and those around us in small groups, in retreats, in Bible study, and so on. It is about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus with each other and with our neighbors through these relationships to the honor and glory of God. So that's who we are as Grace Communion Richardson. That's our mission for this year and beyond, to know Jesus and to make him known through family fellowship, through worship, and through neighborhood engagements. By the Spirit's power, as we engage in hope, faith, and love. What about you? Are you part of a team or a group of people, a church that is participating in the mission and life of love of Jesus. Do you want to? Don't hesitate to reach out if you do. God meant for people to work together in love and unity, joining Him in His life and mission. That's why He established the church. We are better together in Him, and together we find the flame of faith, hope, and love in each other, in worship, in family fellowship, and in neighborhood engagement. Amen. Well, I hope to see you next time as we continue on this journey of sharing Jesus' life and mission of love together in hope, in faith, and in love. Let's conclude with a worship song from our praise team. And hopefully, by God's grace, I will see you next time. God bless.
Back, the place we began, the simple pursuit of nothing but you, the innocence of a heart in your back to an unswerving faith and power of your name, a heart beating for your kingdom to reign, a church that is known for your presence.
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to to call using the phone. The phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless.